Nicholas Anderson here at Knoxville Anime and Comic Con, and I'm talking with Eric Stewart.
Hello, good morning.
Let's start. Tell us about who you are first and what you do.
Oh, who I am. Well, that's too long a story. So I'm voiceover, actor, director, producer, singer-songwriter, and semi-retired professional tennis player.
That's pretty cool.
Well, let's just say I just played a lot of tennis, but it sounds better if I say I was semi-professional.
Tell us about that, how that led to your voiceover.
Well, the Reader's Digest condensed version is I worked at a tennis club out in the Hamptons, networked with some people that owned a recording studio, who offered me a job in a recording studio as the coffee guy, and that gradually led to working my way up the recording studio ladder from producer to running the studio to then finally ending up doing some of the voiceovers there, and then I quit my job and continued doing voiceovers and music. Actually, I quit my job so that I could tour as a musician, and voiceovers allowed me to also work wherever I was.
Started voiceovering like commercials and stuff, so where did you make like, the transition to doing cartoons and anime?
A client of mine that was doing a lot of commercials with us at the studio asked me if I wanted to audition for a cartoon, and I was like, sure, that would be great, and I had never really thought about anime besides Battle of the Planets and stuff like that. So I went in and read for Gowry on Slayers and booked that, and that was my first major recurring role, so once I got a taste of that, I realized that you could actually make a living doing that as well.
And Gurren's voice for like several years because they keep putting out more and more Slayers.
Yeah, well, that was the thing, is it was, you know, a lot of the anime things are sometimes they're just one-offs. You do like a movie or something like that, or maybe two, but Slayers, they just kept making more and more and more of them, which is better for me. They find that funny, too.
And you were talking about, I heard yesterday, you didn't always have the full script for doing Slayers, so you had to make stuff up.
Yeah, well, with Slayers, you know, production was ahead of script writing, so, or even sometimes script writing just wasn't as solid as it could be. And the guy that was directing and the engineer and I would sit around and say, well, what can we put in here since they didn't really write a line that works or that even makes sense? And we spent a lot of time making things up. And I'd get a lot of, Eric, what do you think would work here? And I did some of that, and some of those are some of my favorite lines in the show. When I watch it back, I remember things like fighting a giant chicken and just yelling, chicken! Because that's what came to mind. You know, I mean, if you saw a giant chicken coming at you, you'd probably yell that as well.
Yeah. Either that or where's the deep fryer?
Yeah, that would work too.
What was your first work in direct and the production side?
Well, I'd always directed the commercials at the studio and then directing the animated stuff as I was getting better and better at doing ADR. And Match and Lip Flap, the company that I was working for, actually, we worked it out since I like to work in the evenings because I was working at the studio at the time, and I'd come in at like 6 to 10 at night. Everyone else had gone home except for the engineer. So I would work one-on-one with a nighttime engineer, and I became self-directing. And then that gradually led to, hey, could you cover for so-and-so who wants to work at night as well? Would you direct her or him because we really want you to direct? And then that led to being hired as full-time staff at 4Kids as, well, Eric can do both the acting and the directing. Let's get him to run one of our shows. And that became Let's Run One of Many Shows.
So what was the first show you were fully in charge of as director?
When I was brought on to 4Kids, my first main show was Yu-Gi-Oh! That was the first season of Yu-Gi-Oh! I started up that show and helped cast it and develop it in the beginning, and that was really my first, that was my job, was being director of Yu-Gi-Oh! And then each new show that came in that was appropriate for me to direct, I was sort of handed over, you know, could you start this one up as well?
Tell me more about your work on Yu-Gi-Oh! Kaiba and on various one-off or small characters.
Yeah, I mean, Kaiba was the main role and that I played, and actually it took a long time to cast that role. We really couldn't find anybody that could do that character, and then finally I just said, you know, I know I'm directing, and I know that that's going to take a lot of my time, but I really can play this role, and my producer gave me a shot at it and said, yeah, this works, let's do it. I really didn't play a lot of side roles on Yu-Gi-Oh! because I was so busy directing, it didn't make sense to do it. I mean, if I could jump in the booth and knock off a small little side character, that's great, fill that in, but it just didn't make sense. Plus, I was working on many other shows as an actor, so there's no reason that I needed to be on every show. As an
another big show you're known as if you're kind of Pokemon.
Yep, where I play Brock, James, Butch, Dexter, and 9 million other little characters. But that was a good thing for us. And also, I think one of the main reasons I played so many of the small characters is back then, our little talent pool was pretty small. We really had probably about 10 to 15 regular actors that were available for this stuff because nobody really wanted to do it. They were like, anime, I don't really, you know, I want to get into that. And now, of course, everyone wants to do it. But back then, it was kind of like, all right, we've got some male characters. Do we call him, 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 or him? Okay, there we go. Let's, you know, number three would work. Whereas I do believe that with Brock and James, those are definitely characters that I, you know, made my own. But you know, who's going to know the difference if I'm Cloyster or if I'm Blastoise? You know, I mean, it could have been Dan Green. It could have been, and that's what we did. We you know, Dan would go in and do like 10 Pokemon, and I'd go in and do 10 Pokemon, and that's how, you know, that's how we get that list to just build up. But that was a fun show to work on. I mean, definitely a piece of pop culture.
And, your favorite Pokemon, Squirtle?
Squirtle, yes, definitely. My first one that I did, I remember it with the Ray-Bans on. I was like, all right, this is a cool Pokemon. You know, he just seemed to have a little bit more attitude. A lot of the other shows where we'd feature them, they just come out and fight, or maybe somebody was kind of sad and we had to make them happy again. But Squirtle just seemed to have like some real personality.
You're like the Pokemon from the wrong side of the track.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Some of your other roles, Dr. Z from Dinosaur King.
That was a good role. The producer on that show, who I worked very closely with on Pokemon, really wanted to have me on this show, but because the format was so similar to Pokemon, there's a character in there that's basically a ripoff of James. He is that same. There is a little Team Rocket type. You know, obviously, if something works, why not imitate it? Right? So it would make sense to cast me in that role, but then everyone would say, I'm playing a ripoff of James. So we thought, well, what other character could I read for? We thought, why not the wacky old villain? Because he's funny. It's a completely different vocal sound, but one of my favorite characters that I did, and it was a lot of work, a lot of dinosaur names, a lot of fast talking, a lot of yelling, but there's still some subtleties in there of some funny little one, quick little one-liners that I'm kind of proud of if you get a chance to watch them.
You're also for Viva Pinata.
Well, Viva Pinata was probably my favorite show to direct. That was all pre-lay. I got to record the actors individually, build those shows, start to finish, send them out to animation. I played some characters on there that made sense. There's a Joe Pesci-type pigeon named Pecky Pudgeon that was a lot of fun to do since I am from Brooklyn, and I might as well, you know, imitate some of my old buddies in the neighborhood. And then what was really great about that show is that it's like a sitcom. There's really no... The only recurring theme that runs through the entire storyline is our two main characters really don't want to get sent to a party. So if that's all that you really need to keep up with, there's no gameplay, there's no cards, there's no nothing like that, it's just jokes. So it's situation comedy. You know, here's the situation, now make it funny, wrap it up in a 20-minute show.